Now, our next speaker is Dr. Ian Gemmell, who he's the medical health officer at Kingston Frontenac Lennox and Addington Health Unit, and prior to that was at Ottawa-Carleton Health Department. He's currently the director also of the Community Medicine Residency Training Program at Queen's University, and he chairs the Ontario Subcommittee on Immunization. I promised him that this wasn't a setup, that we weren't setting him up for a debate about the pros and cons of universal influenza immunization, but instead we've asked him to talk about the realities of implementing that program, which was launched some years ago in Ontario, and in fact Ontario was the first jurisdiction on the globe to launch a universal influenza immunization strategy. And I know also, Ian, from being a member of NACI, we've shamelessly borrowed members from the National Advisory Committee on Immunization to speak at today's conference and tomorrow as well. And those include Danuta herself and Pam Orr, who will be speaking tomorrow, and Alison McGeer, who I see has also arrived from Ontario. So, Ian, welcome.
There we go. Wow. Thank you, Monica. And thank you for inviting me to come to this remarkable forum again to talk about Ontario's various vaccine programs. Last year, I wasn't able to come to talk about the HPV program. And this year, I made up my mind I was going to come. And I think that both of these tasks actually were unenviable because there are lots of questions about both of the programs in our province that that you've already heard about. Danuta has given you a remarkable scientific approach to deciding about an universal influenza immunization program. And my job is to tell you how, if you decide to implement an unscientific program, how you do it, or perhaps how you don't do it. I'm going to be talking pretty much at the local level, the practical aspects of program implementation. And I said to Monica yesterday, you know, when I went through this, thinking about this, I said to myself, I bet you every person in that room, if you sat them down and you said to them, what kind of problems do you think you would face if you were going to implement this kind of program, you would probably be able to write them all down and actually give this lecture yourself. So I don't think there'd be any surprises to those people who are already very much involved in influenza programming. So I'm going to talk just very briefly about influenza itself, why we need to control it, vaccine pros and cons, and I'm very much actually focused on some of the cons of influenza vaccine, the rationale for such a program in Ontario, and I'm going to be spending most of my time on implementation issues, the very nuts and bolts of what happened when we were faced with doing this on very short notice. I'm going to talk a little bit about evaluation. You've already heard a lot of data on evaluation, so I'm going to be talking on in more general terms about the kind of mixed evaluations that have come out on our program in Ontario. And then a little bit of discussion about has it been worth it? And I think that's actually a question that you folks should actually be asking yourselves. So you all know this is an orthomyxovirus, that there are three antigenic types, and it's type A that and B that cause epidemics in this era of history. This is a virus that is very unpredictable, as Danuta has said, and I would agree with her 100%. Anybody who tries to predict what influenza is going to do really needs to have their head examined, I would argue. This virus, here's a cartoon of it that shows you the requirements for life for this virus, which is the hemagglutinin protein, which helps it to infect cells, and the neuraminidase protein, which helps it to finish its replication. The MT2 protein as well, where the amantadine type of antivirals work. And these are very important to influenza. They're also important to us because this is how we make our vaccines now. And I think we have a lot of work to do on making a better vaccine. That's one of the things I will be trying to convince you of today. And also where we have the effective antivirals, such as neuraminidase inhibitors. And this is one of the most confounding organisms that cause disease in humans. And I think I heard Danuta say a few months ago that what we need to do is have an influenza forum or an influenza institute. And the more I learn about this virus, the more I truly agree with this. This is a fascinating virus that it's amazing to me how 8 strands of RNA can keep us all so very busy. It's a moving target, and as you're aware, the burden of disease varies from year to year. And if you just look at the numbers, this is the, we're not quite finished this year yet because we have H1N1, which are confounding all the numbers. But if you look at the numbers for influenza, it does vary from year to year. You're all aware that these numbers are only the tip of the iceberg. These are the people who have been tested and where there's been a laboratory finding. And if you look at B in particular, you can see how variable influenza indeed can be. But it does have an impact. And I think the reference for this was a previous NASI statement from several years ago. But we do accept that from influenza-associated illness, there may be anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 deaths per year, tens of thousands of hospitalizations, perhaps a million bed days across the country, and a cost, both medical and social, of perhaps $500 million a year. And we do know as well that influenza outbreaks cause significant morbidity even in healthy persons, and it causes many restless hours for anybody working in public health when a new variant comes along, as we've all experienced over the last few weeks. So, what do you need when you're doing a program? Well, the first and most important thing you need is a safe vaccine. When you ask people what's the most important consideration for them when they want to have themselves or their families immunized, it's safety. And I think that we need to focus on this 100%. The nice thing about influenza vaccine, as you're aware, is that the common side effects are relatively trivial and that the serious side effects, some of which are listed for you there, are relatively rare. What we have to remember is when you're going down the road of immunizing an entire population, and as you'll hear later on, we haven't actually immunized the entire population of Ontario ever. But if you go down that road, you're going to need a virus that is very, very safe, because when you immunize millions and millions of people, rare side effects can then surface. And that's when vaccine programs get into trouble. And when they get into trouble, it casts aspersions on all vaccine programs. So that's a very important point that we need to keep in mind. And one thing I will say about influenza vaccine is that, you know, on balance, it's a fairly safe vaccine. It is effective, and you've seen actually way more data from Denuta on this point. And I absolutely agree that it's not randomized controlled trials that have demonstrated its effectiveness. It's mostly been observational and other kinds of studies, which are very much less convincing. However, we do accept the fact that there are, and there have been several studies that have shown reduction in pneumonia, in hospitalization, and in death in the elderly and medically compromised, which is why every year in every province in this country and other countries around the world, we do immunize those medically vulnerable and elderly people against this disease. But there are cons to this vaccine. And if there's one message I keep giving to GSK and to Sanofi and to Solvay and all the other manufacturers when I get a chance, it's we need a better vaccine. And if you're going to be doing a universal program particularly, we need to have a vaccine that is significantly improved both in not having mismatches, in better protection and all these kinds of things. So just in the last slide, I said that 70-90% protection against circulating strains in healthy individuals when there's a match, I think this is a con too, because it's not, as you saw, a vaccine that has high efficacy that we can depend on year after year after year. And you've already heard that the protection may be less in the elderly and medically compromised, and it's only effective when there's a strain match, and you've heard that there has been mismatches for the last few years. It's actually to the point where we have a policy in our office that everybody who works in our public health office must be immunized, and I'm at the point where I'm saying to myself, how can I enforce such a policy when every single year we have people who could come to me to say, you know, this vaccine isn't working the way you say it is, why should we be getting it? So this is a policy that we are, putting in place on a voluntary basis at this point in time. And the other thing about this vaccine, of course, is that it has to be administered annually. So it's one thing to go and immunize the entire population once or maybe twice to get good vaccine coverage. But when it has to be done annually, it's an enormous task, and I'll just show you a little bit about that. So the rationale for the UIIP in Ontario, as we call it, is that if we can decrease the circulation of influenza, that we can get better protection, we can have fewer cases. Intuitively, then we'll have fewer deaths, there will possibly be fewer ER visits, and lower costs to the treatment system. One other thing that was in the announcement from Ontario was there'll be less work absenteeism. And none of these things have really been very well studied. Danuta also taught you about what level of coverage do we need to have an effect, and I put maybe 60-70% there. But you saw the mathematical formula, and you can also observe that Ontario is nowhere near the level that we need in terms of vaccine coverage to get any kind of herd immunity. We have a long way to go on that.